This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
We're going to change the world.
Talk about our generation, this whole work-life balance crap.
Yep.
it's really just life.
We're changing the way that people work, the culture, and every level of how business runs.
Please don't talk to me about sports, though. I don't know anything.
Fergie, if you're listening, I'd love to meet you.
The building industry has long been reluctant to change. When things are going well, developers and builders have had no incentive to rock the boat. But now, post-recession, a shift in society and culture has ushered in a tidal wave of change in the industry, and there's no going back. Welcome to Spaces, where we explore and analyze how the building industry is evolving, from design and construction to management and economics. Join hosts Jason, Ali, and Demetrius as they discuss the evolution of your spaces. Hello, welcome to Spaces. I'm your host, Demetrius, and I'm here with co-hosts Ali and Jason. This is our maiden voyage, and we'd like to start off with a show description and brief insight into our individual backgrounds. As far as the show, Spaces is a millennial-led podcast focused on discussing all aspects of the building industry. From design and construction to management and economics, we're going to try and cover it all. Jason, Ali, and I have been in our industries for 8 years or more, and we're all different ages, but closer to the leading edge of millennials. So we have a unique understanding of our generation while also having some blend of the previous generation's characteristics. I'm an architect, and early on in my career, compared to other industries, I was really frustrated with the lack of innovation in the building industry, especially home building. But that has recently begun to change in home building and beyond, in part because of what I call the millennial effect. Either millennial decision making or from others trying to figure out millennials and how to target them. We're changing the way that people work, the culture, and every level of how business runs. And this is because millennials are now the largest generation in the US. By 2020, we're expected to make up 75% of the workforce. And with this rapidly evolving industry and other mounting issues that are lingering from the 2008 recession, millennials really need a forum to discuss issues and explore historical references and new advancements in our industry. So we hope you'll engage with us through our email, hello@spacespodcast.com, and our social sites, where you can pretty much search Spaces Podcast on any platform and find us there. Other than that, we hope you make this show your forum and join us in on this conversation. And now I'd like to go around the room and give everyone a chance to go into their backgrounds. Jason.
Hey everyone, my name's Jason. I graduated from Cal State Fullerton with a marketing degree and in business management. Currently I run operations and business development for a couple companies that are on the finishing side of the industry. So I get a different perspective as far as the types of materials and finishes and trends that we tend to see on the inside finishes of the home. And I have a lot of thoughts about how the field is running, what the manpower looks like out there, and ultimately just the overall operation of how those products are being built, timeliness-wise, cleanliness-wise, and even quality-wise. So been at the companies that I work at now, I think, for about 13 years. Always knew I wanted to be in the construction industry. I'll be honest, didn't know it was going to be on the pieces that I'm in right now. Thought it would be more on the builder side. But what's been really cool about being part of the ops side of the business is I get to interact with a lot of our builder partners from a structure and scale and obviously an operational side. So I get to see a lot of that as well, which is nice. And then ultimately, all of our building partners do have a wide range of product types. All throughout Southern California, Northern California, and we even look at stuff that, you know, starts to stretch more so towards the Midwest. So pretty cool stuff.
Cool. And the thing I love about Jason, he's a straight shooter.
Yeah, not a lot of BS.
Yeah, he's gonna tell it like it is. So you'll love that part of his perspective as we continue on with the show. Jason, do you have anything that you want to share, kind of on the personal level, about your background?
He's straight to business.
Yeah.
Personal level, married, have a couple kids. I spend a lot of time, basically everything with me is 100% go. It's about 100 miles an hour all the time, from waking up at, you know, potentially sub 4 a.m., getting to the gym early, getting home to be the family man and the dad and make breakfast for the kids before I head to the office, get there about 7 o'clock. Put in a full time, usually out of there between five and six in the evening. And then from there, it's some version of sports for the kids. So whether it's coaching soccer, coaching youth hockey, I pretty much know what day it is based off of what I have to coach that evening.
Nice.
Everything else tends to blend together, which I think is also a good spot, which I know we'll get into when we get to talk about our generation, this whole work-life balance crap.
Yep.
It's really just life. So what you do with it is your decision. And ours right now is, I kind of believe if there's anything you can do, you should do. And so that's it. Definitely a family and a man of faith. I think that's it. I've had a lot of interactions with the youth that we're talking about. I've had the last 3 years, I was able to coach on a college level as well. So it was interesting to have a lot of the discussions with those kids that are going to become our next workforce, what they're looking to do, what they think they're entitled to do, and basically the just overall misunderstanding of what that future looks like, to be honest with you. I think there's a big misunderstanding. So, you know, I know Demetrius, you got a lot of things planned to discuss. Yeah. I know that'll get into it, and most likely I'll probably tangent off and all those, and someone's going to have to slap me to bring me back. really looking forward to it. So, I have no idea where we're going to go with this thing and how this is going to work out, but excited nonetheless.
Allie.
Yeah, so I'm excited to work with you guys. With Jason, there are very few things that him and I agree with. And that's what's quite fun, is when I talk to him, like, I don't agree with you, but you have a good argument and you've thought it through and you have different reasons for that. So I am
born and raised in the Midwest, and I think that will come out in my personality. I had someone tell me the other day, they're like, you're not from here in California, are you?
I didn't know that.
Oh, she's like, oh, that makes sense, you're from the Midwest. I was like, what do you mean? She never wanted to elaborate, so I'll let that go. I went to the Ohio State University.
The.
So please don't talk to me about sports, though. I don't know anything about Ohio State football. I said I went to one smart school, one sports school, so I also have my master's from the London School of Economics in England. I studied real estate economics and finance.
How was that, being in England?
If anyone would do it, you know, I left with $75,000 in student loan debt, but became a different person. I became more well-rounded. I traveled the world. I met people. I thought I was smart at my school, and then I met people that were smarter than anyone you would ever meet in your life. It's humbling. It's
your husband's from England, right?
He is, yeah. Okay. So my husband's from England. We did not meet when we were there. Strangely, we both met when we ended up here in California.
And you dual weddinged it, though, didn't you? Wasn't there a wedding here and then a wedding there?
No, he proposed to me there.
Okay, that's
what yeah, we were in the London Bridge. So if you guys know that famous blue bridge, we were there.
I just know the song. No, the nursery rhyme.
There's another little insight into Ali's life right there. Fergie, if you're listening, I'd love to meet you.
Not Fergie. That's hilarious.
So my specialty is completely different than the other two gentlemen. I know macroeconomics, I know regional economics, I know what drives different markets, and I really understand demographics. So Jason and I, going back to how we disagree on everything, I've spent the past few years really studying millennials and understanding all of them, and I have a lot of respect for millennials, and I think that's why this podcast is going to make sense, because we're gonna change the world.
Yeah, I agree. I'll jump into my background. Again, I'm an architect. I work primarily in the residential field. I went to Cal Poly Pomona, a local guy from Southern California, specifically from Compton, California. Everybody always kind of gets raises an eyebrow when I say that, but it's pretty interesting. I've had a kind of a different background, different perspective. Being from Compton, I had really hard working parents that did what they could to give me the opportunities they could. So I mean, I have such a diverse background, being from one point where you see someone get shot and killed right outside my front door to traveling the world a few weeks later or something like that. So I have a different perspective from a lot of people. And I'm hoping that can come through in the show and, you know, give people a different understanding of different sides. So that's one part of it. I currently work as an architect in the residential industry, but I do have interest in other focuses of commercial, residential, hospitality. So I have a ton of interest, and you'll see that as we progress in the show. I have a long list of things that I want to talk about and different design aspects. So let's see, what else? Anything else I need to talk about?
I was just
about?
Wondering, that one topic we were talking about earlier, does that fall into hospitality or...
for the prison? Yeah. I guess it's a form of... So we'll run through a quick list of things we want to talk about. As Jason mentioned, prisons is one that I really want to get into and kind of explore. So we'll be all over the place. All of our backgrounds are currently residential based, so we'll probably come back to that a lot and touch on that, but we do want to kind of get outside of just the residential industry and explore a lot of different topics, as well as on the management side. Jason has some real interest in that and how things run, so we'll get into all of that as we progress. But I wanted to ask you guys, how do you feel about doing this podcast? Whoever wants to jump in.
I'll jump in. You know, I have, as an economist, one of the things that we're taught is efficiency. So you need to fill your time and you need to be smart with your time. So for me, every morning when I wake up, I listen to Bloomberg while I get ready. When I walk to my car, I listen to an audiobook. When I am like doing my makeup, I listen to NPR. I listen to something that I learn every second of the day, but I've never listened to a podcast before.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing that I just found out. You've never listened to one. And you just recently recorded, you did an interview on one.
Yeah, and I had no idea what to expect. I was like, okay, I think he's going to ask me questions and I'm going to come prepared with some ideas. But yeah, it was an interesting experience. So I'm super excited to do this with you guys.
Cool. Jason.
Yeah, I only recently got involved in it, and the only reason why is there's a company that I follow, part of one of my routines. I'm at the gym usually 6 days a week. That's kind of really, once you get into being married and having kids and stuff like that, it's hard to find your time. So that roughly hour and a half or so each morning is my time. And it's usually filled with some kind of upbeat music or whatever the deal is. But with that workout segment, you know, we take basic supplements and stuff like that. So there's a company by the name of First Form that I really, really like. And I like the guy that owns it and runs it. He's the CEO of it. His name's Andy Frazella. And he's got a podcast called, you know, this is right up my alley, the MF CEO Project, which I think is really interesting. It's aimed at entrepreneurs. I have an entrepreneurial mind, but I've never tried to necessarily be an entrepreneur. That's not what I want to do because I don't want it to overly consume my life. But a lot of the things that he talks about in that podcast really resonate very deeply with me. And how he looks at people and opportunities and a lot of the social media junk that we see these days, everything out there is like an overnight success or whatever, and probably 99.9% of it, none of those people are successful, and there certainly is no such thing usually for the vast majority as an overnight success. So I've actually enjoyed following that, and yeah. What's kind of neat is when you subscribe to it, and this is all new for me, it pops up when there's a new one, yeah. You know what I mean? So you can kind of pop onto it and listen to it, and there's what's interesting for me is some of them are like 8 minutes long,
yeah,
and then there's a couple where I'm expecting to go through a couple of them, and there's one that was like 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. And for me, I start to glaze over because I can't pay attention to anything that long.
Yeah.
So if I fall asleep over here, that's why.
I'll get a stick to poke.
Yeah, perfect. But I really enjoyed that. So I'm trying to find other things, but honestly, between, you know, kind of like you're saying, you have your routines and trying to fit time-wise in, I don't have enough time to check out that many of them. So maybe ours will be the second one since I don't listen to any, and it'll be kind of interesting to hear us talking on it. So,
yeah. I'm super excited to do this. And we came together, and I think it's going to provide something that's unique because in our industry, there's nothing really like this. To have this background of, you know, ops and design and economics all in one room talking about, you know, how our industry is really changing. So I'm really excited to see what comes out of this complete experiment. The idea popped up and we're going to see where this goes and what happens. But
and we should say thank you because this is your idea and we came into this room and it's like, what did you do? Oh my gosh, this is so cool. So
yeah, so the prop has to go to Demetrius for the start on this whole thing for sure.
I appreciate it. So as we do move forward, and again, this is going to kind of evolve as we go, just because it's, you know, that's the nature of this thing. What are you guys kind of looking forward to, specific topics or, you know, different things that you guys want to focus on and talk about, Jason?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I'm looking forward to in this is really getting perspective from other peers. Mm-hmm. And what they see, and obviously, like, as much as, you know, Ali, you and I disagree on, you know, apparently everything, you know, really getting that different perspective from what you see, and there is a good age gap. I mean, I'm 36, and so it's, you know, I'm further ahead in my life than you guys are age wise. So it'll be interesting to see kind of one side versus the other side of that age range. You know what I mean? And what you guys are kind of coming up with.
It's not that different. It's not,
but I think there's enough of a gap to where it does make a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Once you get 2, 3, 4 years in a career can be a huge difference.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? There's certain, you're going to say something.
I will never say how old I am. I will just say I am between 17 and 37.
Nice work. So with that, there you go. Yeah. We'll get Ali off the fence because sitting on the fence at some point hurts. So, but you know, I'm really looking for the perspective on it. I like the general discussion about where the industry is going. Clearly, you know, everybody in this room knows I'm pretty opinionated with my thoughts on it. And even, you know, last night it was a little bit more affirming for me on the direction that we're trying to take, because we're at a big gala, industry gala, and you look at the room and with the companies that I'm with, the table there was the only one that had people really that are, you know, molding the companies they work with under 40 years old. And everything else, I mean, there's a gap. It goes from about where we were all the way to 65 and 70, and maybe some 50s sprinkled in, but there's not a lot in of our generation in positions of, you know, ultimately I'm not a power person, but power that make those decisions and have the general guiding for those companies that are in our industry. And I think that's really interesting. So, kind of troubling too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's that next generation and the future really look like? When everybody decides, okay, I've had enough, I'm out.
And that's
who's going to grab the reins.
That's an interesting topic in itself, and I'm sure we'll get a show to focus on that. But if you look around, kind of just around what's going on in the world, how this shift is occurring because of that huge gap, and there's no one in the middle really. In some cases, it's working out well, in some it's not working out that well. If you just look in the sports industry, these different guys that are taking over, what's his name, the Rams' new coach.
Sean.
He's completely changed that team around. Yeah. He's only 31, right. I think, right. 32, something like that.
Right.
So this is occurring all over the place. There's CEOs that are in their 30s taking over companies. Again, it's either working out in some cases and some not, but it's a different mindset that people have in our generation that are, you know, making huge changes to the way industries run just because of our perspective and some of the things that we have interest in. So,
and I hate to be that person, but of your table, so you said your table is the only one with people under 40.
I mean, I think there were some tables with people there,
How many of the decision makers at your table were women?
Two of what would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, technically 5.
Okay.
So, you know, everything was like, you know, associate plus one. So obviously my wife went, and she probably has a lot more decision-making ability in the company than I think, because she influences just about everything I do. But ultimately, there was a couple females there that have, you know, ranking positions, if you will, within the company. Now, albeit they're not the final decision makers, and I think that's something that can be discussed later on, because there is a big push towards, you know, gender equality and what our industry specifically is very lacking in that side. So I don't know if that's going to be a shift because of our generation or not. And I think it probably should be, because of the amount of individuals coming out of college with degrees in that type of space. And Lord knows we build houses to sell to the ladies ultimately. So why not have a lady out there doing those types of decisions, you know? So still very, you know, there's somebody in our industry that says it's full of old white men. And that is, you know, that is for sure.
Yeah.
At some point that has to change, because overall, you know, socioeconomically, we're changing in that, just in that mindset as it is. So yeah. I think it's going to be forced. It's just, what's that mix look like?
So, yeah.
And I have to applaud our company too. We just had this big presentation that we hosted in Orange County. And typically you go, and like you said, old white men, you kind of go, and the presenter, the economist will be a man, and the expert in the area will be a man. And in our group, we had three presenters, all three of us were women. And then we also had two pop-up speakers in the audience, and they happened to also be women. And our CEO went up and said, "Is this the industry changing? Oh my gosh, look at all of this."
Yeah.
You don't normally see that in an event where the women are, you know, equally as capable. Yeah.
And you've actually gotten a lot, like, really active lately as far as doing kind of tours and speaking engagements and those type of things, right?
Yes. So I'm a national presenter, so I go around. And what I find really interesting is, I think, Jason, I've talked to you about this before, is when I'm networking before the event, no one wants to talk to me.
Yeah.
You'll see my picture. I don't look like I'm smart. I don't look like I make good decisions. But after I give a presentation, all of a sudden these people that didn't want to talk to me will line up to kind of learn. So I think it's good to, at least for me on a national stage, to be able to challenge conventional wisdom about what a young woman is capable of doing. I think it's really empowering.
Yeah. And that's actually kind of a good segue into my next question for you guys.
Well, you didn't answer what you're looking to get out of this.
Oh, well.
The list comes out.
Yeah. So basically, I guess for me, I think we have this opportunity to basically be like the reporters on the ground, to let other people know what how this industry is changing. And And I think this is also selfishly an opportunity to kind of explore and see different avenues of what an architect can do. You know, again, this society is changing, and the advancement of technology is providing all these different opportunities to do different things. And an architect is basically a problem solver through design. And that's an industry that's getting very bogged down for several different reasons that, I mean, I'll get into later. But I think this is another avenue to be a problem solver, to explore and discuss how you can come up with a solution for something. Whether 5 or 1 million people listen, that we'll see how it happens. But
we could be our own therapy group though too.
Yeah, so yeah, right. Definitely. So that'll be good too. So I can complain and get some stuff out of off my chest. But I think that's kind of where I'm at right now on what I expect to see and to get out of this. But is there anything else that you guys want to get out of this personally?
I'm just excited that we all have different specialties. So I spend, besides when I'm going out presenting, I sit there and look at data and talk to data all day. I don't get to talk to architects, or I don't get to talk to people in ops. So I think it'll be interesting to see if we're all looking at the same kind of thing. I think our next show will be interesting, kind of how do we all view that from a financial point of view, or from a design point of view, or you know, from fundamentals. So
when I look at it, ultimately, you've got a lot of different elements here, which is fun to hear about, right? Yeah. So depending on how you look at it, it's like chicken or the egg. So you got the data, you got the, you know, you got the design part, and I'm going to kind of look at it as best I can to represent some of the other stuff as far as what the feasibility is to be able to build that and look at it and how I see that staging out. So clearly I'm not going to say I'm an expert in those areas because I'm not. I understand ours really well, but you know, just in seeing job sites, and gosh knows there's a lot of year-end stuff coming out, so I spend a lot of time in the field right now and seeing what some of the chaos looks like and how could you eliminate some of those steps and things of that nature, or really clean them up and tidy them up. So I'm really looking forward to hearing the perspectives on it and bouncing ideas off of it, you know what I mean? Because you're right, there's not a lot of this type of stuff that goes on in a free form discussion for our industry at all, and certainly not from this age range.
So yeah, this will be definitely cool to kind of learn from each other too, because I mean, we don't have that much crossover on an everyday basis, not specifically us, but you know, people with our focuses don't get that much of a crossover. So this is an opportunity not just for us to learn, but listeners to kind of get these different perspectives, whatever their background or focus may be. So with that, I think we'll kind of tie this one up and move on to the next episode. So I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll come back. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks if you are listening to this as we put them out. If you are catching up, hit next, and we will see you then. Thanks.
Small firm entrepreneur architects, get ready to build a better business with the Entree Architect podcast, where business meets architecture. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, the host of Entree Architect podcast. Join me every week for inspiring interviews with passionate people that share proven strategies to help you build a better business.
If you think there is a problem, one, you can't make a move until you have a plan in place. The accountability chart really helps plan, okay, for the business 6 to 12 months out, this is what we need.
We cover it all, from financial management to marketing, sales, productivity, and beyond.
There's two sides of it, right? So there's the one when you don't have any work. So you're like, well, I'm either going to charge enough to be profitable, or I'm going to go out of business. Or you have so much work and you have backlog and you don't need any more work, so you charge way more.
I'd also say lagging measures, one of the best, like the best. So for any client, for any professional service company, if you're going to take one thing away from what we're talking about today, is to look at a number called the labor efficiency ratio.
Entree Architect is not just a podcast. It's your secret weapon for success. With over 500 episodes, it's one of the longest running architecture podcasts in the world. You're sure to find the information you need to elevate your business. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now and join the community of small firm entrepreneur architects building better businesses.